Good morning and welcome back to Sharp Elbows with me, State Rep Francesca Hong.
And me, Nado Makashvi. Sorry, Fran, I forgot. I was listening to the music and I forgot to call us back in again. But we have a caller from Stevens Point.
Joe, yes.
Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Hey, what's up, crew? I sharpened
How
up
are
my
you?
Elbows. Okay. I'm all right. I sharpened my elbows, but I still don't feel they're as sharp as what you all are doing on the radio. So I'm gonna try and keep up.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, Joe.
No, it's a good thing because you know what? I feel like you are you both got your fingers on the pulse of, you know, where we need to go, and I'm just like, you know, we have got to put the Democratic car in drive. I think we've got to do a Ben Wickler intervention. I don't know where that guy is. I think he's gone underground. Perhaps he's kept in a suitcase underneath. Maybe he's in Nancy Pelosi's ice cream refrigerator or something. But we got to get him out of there. And we got to go to 72 counties in Wisconsin. We got to talk about, you know, we just got to quit being punked by these Republicans, and they're dominating us in the numbers, the seats that are held. They don't respect us, but it's because we don't respect ourselves. I feel like Democrats are like showing up and leadership, and anybody's on this radio show. But I feel like we're showing up you know, offering coffee cake, and Robin Voss and Fitzgerald, they're bringing chainsaws. And we're trying to swim in their dirty water as bipartisanship and engaging with their like flat earther cultural dances. And we're sitting there fake, like, I don't know. I'm so done with that, because here's the fact of the matter. We want like real healthcare solutions. You think they're balling it big time up in northern Wisconsin with their health care? I got news for everybody. They're not. Their high-speed internet sucks. Their elder care totally sucks. Their child care sucks. Everything sucks. You can't point to anything maybe you could. Help me out. If there's something that doesn't suck, let me know. But Democrats got to go on the front. And legalization of marijuana is a farming issue. It's a jobs issue. It's a pull ourselves out of the mud issue. And, Ben Wickler, I don't know where you're at, Ben. I know you're probably not listening. We've got this just massive institutional failure. And if we didn't learn anything over 4 years from Trump, nothing saved us from Trump. Joe Biden's not going to fix the system that brought us Trump. In fact, he keeps on kind of stumbling and bumbling around. So I'm worried about that, gals. And Democratic centrism has proven to be nothing but polite fascism. I know I'm coming hard, but this is Sharp Elbows. This is Sharp Elbows. I got to bring it.
You did bring it. And I think if someone asks me, you know, what my political affiliation is, I'm going to say Joe from Stevens Point. I think that my sentiments agree with yours. I think the Democratic Party plays it safe. And I say that all the time, where they follow this, you know, playbook that has worked in the past and is not working now. And I think that that playbook has disenfranchised so many communities in rural Wisconsin that they look at Robin Voss because at least he talks to them, you know, when we don't necessarily do that. And so for me, I connect well with that. I think Ben Wickler has been doing a great job when it comes to, you know, turning Wisconsin blue. I think the Democratic Party structure as a whole has a lot more to be desired. And the Assembly Dems, the Senate Dems just need to bring it harder. They need to be a little bit meaner. And kind of that politeness, that respectability politics needs to go out the window when you're dealing with a death cult, when you're dealing with people that do not care if brown people, if marginalized people, if poor people live and breathe. And so I don't know, Joe, can you run for something? Hopefully you do, because that is the energy yes. that we need.
So I really hope you run. I'm going to use polite fascism a lot. And as the
the polite Democrat in the room here. I'm waiting my turn to speak. Go ahead.
Bring it. Please bring it.
No, I think those are all very valid points. And the response we hear when we talk about how the Dems need to turn their stuff up, we hear a lot about gerrymandering and the power structure right now as the minority, the limitations we have, the cover we need to provide for the governor. There are a lot of complexities in there, but I think what often gets missed in that conversation, when we're analyzing the conditions as to why we are, the conditions like gerrymandering and other factors that have gotten us to this point, we ignore one part of the narrative, which is the now, which is right now we are in absurd, unprecedented times, which I think calls for risk-taking, which calls for leadership that looks for opportunities out of crisis. And we need to be focusing on messaging that is concise, clear, and boldly and unapologetically progressive, because it is what more and more people are going to need and have needed for far too long. And so broadband expansion, family supporting wages, affordable housing, these are not just rural issues or urban issues. These are Wisconsin issues. These are issues that the entire country is facing. So if we do not have every single person on board saying healthcare is a right, clean water is a right, housing is a right, and at this point, internet should be a utility, we are not going to be able to move that needle, and we will continue to fall into the traps of incrementalism. And I absolutely agree that we here in Wisconsin as a caucus need to rally around this message, because guess what? Your constituents deserve to have leadership that believes that these things are what people deserve, and that we are all deserving to be safe. We are all deserving to be protected from a virus, and we are deserving to make sure that our leadership is representative of that. And it's appalling and it's unconscionable. And I absolutely agree that we are falling into, call it polite fascism, call it Voss dictatorship. It is not okay, and none of us are okay, and we shouldn't be okay. We have been living in a pandemic for over 10 months, and what do we have to show for it right now? Revoking a mask mandate?
No words. I think for me, Democrats are stuck in this early 2000s, you know, Hillary Clinton, sorry, Hillary fans, Obama era politics. It's just not vibing with this new electorate that's coming out, you know, and it's like a bad thing to like, you know, speak against Obama. But I think that the Democratic Party needs to reinvent itself. It needs to start appealing to the more progressive younger base, and the people that are just done with all the BS that's happening right now. You have one of the largest electorate, potentially the largest electorate, that's been proven to vote, you know, along the lines of the left. Yet the policies they care about, climate justice, right? Not just mitigating climate change, but climate justice, looking at how, you know, a deteriorating, you know, environmental reality is hindering communities of color, marginalized folks, you know, poor people, getting solutions that do sound like the Green New Deal and that don't shy away from using language like that, is how you draw people in. If you look at why we don't have Trump as president, it's because new voters came in to the Democratic electorate. People voted in numbers where we haven't seen before, yet, you know, that was because of the grassroots organizing that was done. That wasn't because of the Democratic Party leadership that we've seen. And so I think once we kind of understand how important it is to upgrade our messaging, to reach out to, you know, communities that aren't safe bets, and really work for their votes, that's when you see, you know, a little bit more stability in our inner political structure. And I think we say this every week, but just a reimagination and kind of a revitalization is what I would love to see in the Capitol and across the country.
And to bring in a sense of urgency here, it's happening across the aisle. I mean, you are Republicans going into, and they have been doing it longer than the Democrats have. Okay. We looked at the Asian and Latino vote that went with that, even though you had a leadership that was dehumanizing and undermining their entire community, you still had these communities of color coming out for Trump. And I think that speaks volumes to the work that still needs to be done, but more importantly, the work that needs to be credited, that the organizing of these communities have been happening for a very long time. And it's important that we continue to capitalize on that and make sure their voices are heard.
Yeah. All right. We will catch y'all after the break. You're listening to Sharp Elbows 92.7 FM.
Hey, I'm Chris.
And I'm Fancy Brian.
And we are your hosts for a new podcast called On the Bus with Chris and Brian, where we welcome you on board the tour bus with artists from all over the place, giving you a taste for what life is really like on tour.
I have so many stories to tell you guys. I just wish I remembered them all.
Fancy Brian, don't you ever run for office. Live vicariously through those who actually live these stories from the road.
Podcasts drop every other Tuesday on DevilRadio927.com.
No yelling on the bus!
Jimmy, crazy local music supporters have surrounded the studio. Take a look.
What do the signs say?
Support local music, double dipping is a right, and I love the Jimmys.
What do they want?
Live local music, Jimmy. Catch Max Inc. Radio every Saturday evening for the best of local music from Wisconsin. And live music performed in the Devil's Lair. Go to MaxIncRadio.com for the live music schedule. It's Max Inc. Radio, Saturdays at 6 on Devil Radio 92.7.
Give them what they want, rocker.
I'm Alan Robinson, host of Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood. You never know who's going to stop by.
Mr. Robinson, yes, this is Samba at the door here. Open the door. Did you hear the bell ring?
Stop by Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood, 6 to 7 weekdays.
Five Nines, your local single source IT solutions provider. Specializing in cloud technology, consulting, servers, networks, and hosting. We manage your IT so you can focus on running your business. Enjoy technology. Enjoy 5Nines.com.
The Devil's Advocates. They refuse to do math on the radio.
Dr. Michael Hicks, professor of economics, director of the Center for Business and Economic Research at Ball State University. This is troubling math all the way around. According to your mathematics, Michael, when do you think the great state of Wisconsin will get paid back on its investment?
Right. I mean, the answer is never.
Screw you, taxpayer!
Stay informed with Progressive News and Talk on WTTN 1580 AM, Wisconsin's home for Devil Radio.
Welcome back to Sharp Elbows. You're listening to me, Nadal Makashvi.
And this is State Rep Francesca Hong.
Before the break, kind of for the last 45 minutes of this show, we've been talking about pretty doomsday type stuff. So let's turn it back up a little bit. Fran, what has been, you know, you're a new state rep 3 weeks into the job. What has been the best part of your week, of your job so far?
I've been, like, when I hit the low points of really going into the depths of my own self-doubt and fear for this state, I've been getting just amazing messages of support from the community, an email or a DM just saying thanks, and hearing words of gratitude from a community that I should be, giving words of gratitude to has been just really uplifting and kept me going, and it's going to keep me fighting. And so just finding those good moments of connection with the community have definitely been the best part of this week.
Yeah, we had this week, it's been a tough time for me, a little bit personally, walking through the Capitol as a Black Muslim hijabi, which means I wear a scarf around my head to signify my religion. It gets intimidating. And even when I was an intern, you get the meanest, dirtiest looks, and you think it's all in your head. But now coming back as a staffer with a little bit of power, the looks are the same, the hostility is the same, and based on, you know, my identity. And so that part was incredibly kind of tiring as I've gone through the week. But when I get on the phones with constituents, I think we have the nicest constituents in the state. They are just so creative and so upbeat, and you know the weight of the world is on their shoulders, but they inspire you so much with their strength, their kind of camaraderie and just all the great working class values they have. So it's been such a treat to serve them so far, 3 weeks in, and I'm so excited to live through the chaos with them, you know, as the session continues. But we had a couple fun questions. One of them was if you could my friend asked this, and it was, representative, what do the letters F-U-C-K spell, and can you use it in a sentence along with the words Robin and Voss? And I think that's the tweet that got away for this segment, huh? Shout out to you, Michael.
Oh, the FCC does not allow me to use that word in a sentence, but I have in the past. I believe there may be some tweets out there where I've used that word in the past when it comes to speaking about leadership. But yeah, I don't think I can do that on the radio today.
Sorry, Michael. Sorry, Michael, not that fun yet. But yeah, for me, I think I kind of wanted to start a new segment on this show where, you know, to kind of get to know the representative of the person. Sometimes you just get the political persona of these politicians and you really don't get to know them as people. I kind of wanted to do like a fun little lightning round of cool facts about you, Fran. So like, what's your favorite color?
Teal.
Teal. Okay. What's your favorite? Well, obviously it's Dolly Parton, but if you could pick anyone but Dolly Parton, what's your favorite musician or song or album?
Oh, I would say, oh, that's really hard.
I knew it would stump you.
I really like Jamila Woods. Like right now, her music is very soul soothing and helps to kind of calm the like just racing thoughts. So I would say Jamila Woods.
Are you gonna be mad at me if I told you I don't know who that is? What'd you say? I didn't hear you.
Let's move on. Next question. Okay.
Move on. All right. You have a recipe for us this week, don't you?
I do. And this is a recipe that I had the great pleasure of making with Sarah Yacoub up by Hudson, Wisconsin, back in the campaign days. She's been doing a phenomenal job. Shout out to Sarah. She's still doing podcasts and staying loud and active and helping her community, even though she lost her election. She's someone that I see as an asset to the caucus, and then I really hope to have her as a colleague someday. So the recipe today is cornbread, and I know that this is a staple, especially in the South, and it's one that is you know, kind of I would say almost sacred to some folks, and really should only be a couple ingredients, but here in Wisconsin, this recipe is more Wisconsin. It uses well, it asks to use Meadowlark Organic Polenta, which is a local mill here in Wisconsin, and then maple syrup, which I think is actually one of our staple ingredients. So it's 8 ounces of melted butter, 2 eggs, really important that the eggs are room temperature. A lot of baking, when it calls for eggs, try to make your eggs room temp, pull them out the night before, have them out on the table for like 4 to 6 hours before you start baking. Pro tip. Is what I think the influencers call that. 3/4 cup of whole milk and 1/4 cup of maple syrup. And then for the dry ingredients, 1.5 cups of all-purpose flour, 1 cup of cornmeal from Meadowlark Organics, 2 teaspoons of baking powder, 1/4 teaspoon of baking soda, and 1.5 teaspoons of salt. You're just going to preheat your oven to 350 degrees. Whisk together the butter, eggs, milk, and maple syrup, and then stir together those dry ingredients. And then stir in the dry ingredients to the wet ingredients in 3 to 4 batches, being careful not to overmix. And then you're going to pour that batter into a prepared pan and level it out with a spatula and bake for 30 to 35 minutes. This cornbread recipe is fantastic to have with dinner if you've got, you know, a pork or steak or a vegetarian dish, great accompaniment to that. But it's also fantastic as a dessert. Sarah and I made it this past summer and we served it with a little whipped cream and a really simple peach compote where we cooked some peaches down with a little sugar and cinnamon and water and lemon juice. So it's a versatile cornbread recipe and it's one of my favorites. And in the summertime, you can even add fresh corn kernels from it as well.
That sounds so fun. Thank you for sharing that. And as soon as you said cornbread, I remembered that next month is Black History Month. So please, please pick up a book, read a little bit about, the other people that share this planet. It's a time of reckoning when it comes to anti-racism and civil justice. And so it's really important to make sure that we all educate ourselves on our country and its history. And we learn so much from the people that have come before us. My favorite book is How to Be an Anti-Racist by Ibram X. Kendi. Has changed my life, has educated even me as a Black person. We all have so much more to learn. And we can't wait to kind of talk about the first week of it next Saturday. So please tune in to Sharp Elbows every Saturday, 10 a.m. here on 92.7 FM. It was so wonderful to talk to all of you today. And look, we finished on time. We're getting a little bit better at this radio thing, huh?
You still have a couple more minutes.
Oh, thanks, Jimmy. Yes, I just wanted to mention my current favorite book, which is Cased by Isabel Wilkerson, and also my nightly before bed, I try to read through at least one of Toni Morrison's essays from a book that you, Nada, gave me.
Oh, yeah. Toni Morrison had such a wonderful letter that she wrote in eulogy of her friend James Baldwin that I think has changed my life. It is one of the most poetic, one of the most moving letters, and it's only a couple pages. So if that's something you can all read this week, I think it would be a good thing for the soul for sure. Awesome.
A quick question for you about the corn. I love cornbread. I have an egg allergy, though. Is there a good egg substitute for that recipe?
You could use canola oil or peanut oil. Okay. It says the binder. You could even, just for like a little flavor too, you could add, this is going to sound weird, but I've done it before. You could add a little bit of coffee to that oil.
Interesting. Coffee.
Mm-hmm. What does that do?
I think it just adds a little bit of like a depth of flavor to it, a little bitterness to kind of balance the sweetness of the corn.
Oh, cool. Yeah. You're going to have to teach me how to cook all that because I can barely make cereal. I'm like, the worst thing to be working for someone who is an executive chef because like, I think we were talking about plants and I pointed at something and I was like, is that a weed? And you're like, no, it's a pepper, not a. Very funny. Very embarrassing too.
Thanks all. Have a great week and be sure to tune in next Saturday at 10 a.m. This is Sharp Elbows and I'm Francesca Hong.
And I'm Nada Mukashri.
Soundtrack is playing. You go ask your questions like what makes a